live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 182. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined by my main man, John Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, I'm doing all right on this soggy Wednesday, doing the best I can. Anyway, man.
First day of fall.
Say what now?
It's the first day of fall.
It is, man. It seemingly went from, you know, late summer to November. And then we still got to get through October here in Circle City, man. But it's Indiana weather, so I shouldn't be shocked, but I'm not necessarily happy about the sogginess. But hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you know what? Because I know we got a lot of football talk. It's great football weather.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, great football, great chilly weather. If you're a big chilly guy. Like, this is like big time chilly time. Also hoodie. I love hoodies, so
yeah,
big hoodie weather.
Sure.
So sweatpants, you know, can't beat it. I did it all today. So big show tonight, John. We've got Tanner, our gambling guy. He's going to be calling in tonight at 7:30. So if you're calling, calling in the show, call in before 7:30 because we got Tanner to end off our show today. We've got a lot of NFL talk. NFL week number two. We've got some Indianapolis Colts news about that game. Some other games from around the league. Our pick'em records for NFL week two is out. I got to tweet those out. I'll tweet those out later today between myself, Jonathan, Decott, and Reggie. It's a tight race at the top for our NFL pick'em, which is great. I've got a couple questions for John tonight based on the NFL through the first 2 weeks. So be anxious to get his response. He has not heard these questions already. So I've got two questions. I'm going to put Jonathan on the spot for tonight and get his response. No, I'll bring it set you up that bad. We've got college football tonight we're going to talk about in the second half of the show tonight. I'm recapping some of the weekend's games as well as do our college football pick'em and some for notes. Quick hitters, we're less than a month away from less than 1 month away from the NBA season starting. So looking forward to that. There's WWE, AEW. So we'll hit a little of that. John, we'll start off first with a rant. It's been a while since I've had a rant to start. So, sounding good first? Or is it
there
clicky?
We go. Go ahead, man. Yeah, I know you got a rant.
Okay.
I know you want to get to it.
All right. First off, I will say, yesterday, or it was early this morning, I got a notification that the Cincinnati Reds have extended the manager, David Bell, an additional 2-year contract extension. Okay. The timing of this, it's the most Cincinnati Reds impeccable thing of the entire world. The timing of this team is playing like hot garbage. I think my old high school JV team right now could beat this Cincinnati Reds team. The fifth team is 78-74. They've won 3 out of their first 10 games. They haven't won a series, which is series, folks, if you're new to this, is at least 2 out of 3 games. Haven't won one of those in the last 9 matchups with the team. They're 4 games back of the second wild card. And we're going to sit there, and Nick Crail, who is our GM, to sit there and give a contract extension to this manager, David Bell. And his quote today, John, was, "For us, we've got a guy in a spot that knows how to run a major league clubhouse in the dugout, and we feel he's the right guy. We've been in talks about extending David Bell all year long." Well, why the hell didn't you do this back in May or June or July when this was in the wild card hunt, big time in the hunt, or even in the playoffs? This team is in a tailspin in this season with the final 10 games left, and you're going to just now give this manager an extension? Not saying he's not worth it. Jesus, the timing of this, is this team is playing the most worst baseball all year long, you're going to give this guy attention now? Say, yep, right now is the time we go give it to him. Yep, still right now. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, Brandon, I know the timing might be bad, man, but they're just trying to, you know, solidify, you know what I'm saying, ticket sales and belief in the slide
there
that happened
belief.
This year.
This team is dead. This team is dead. It's over. It happens every year. We play great football, and
money.
Then it goes to crap at the end of the season. You get our
Brandon,
it's just like our friend Nick said. They get our hopes up, and
well, hold
on
the
season.
Brandon, you sound like a Cubs fan, man. So I think the Reds' offseason is going to be interesting. It'll be something to watch. I'm not saying they're going to break the bank like the Yankees do or the Red Sox do, but I think they're going to get some help. They need some help at shortstop, as everybody knows, and they definitely need some help probably in the bullpen, probably the closer. Yeah. So if those things happen, you know what I'm saying, you might be eating a little crow sometime next year if they made the playoffs.
I just don't get it. I don't get the timing. It's the most Reds thing ever with the timing. If I had JMV on or if I had Coach Fleck on, I think they would agree with me. Not saying that Dave Bell don't deserve it. Jesus, let's get the timing up a little bit better for that, because now anything you're going to say, does the manager really deserve it? And you're going to get a lot of the fan base question it.
Could it be a possibility right now.
You're locally with the Indianapolis Colts.
Could be a possibility that other teams was interested in his service. This is extension, right? But could it be a possibility that other teams were interested in his services, managing this? He seemed like a steady kind of guy. You know what I'm saying?
He's from Cincinnati. His family lives in Cincinnati. His dad used to coach Cincinnati. I don't think he was going to leave time. His contract still had, I think, another year or two left. So we're extending it two more years in this, which is for some Red fans, based on how this is kind of finishing, which to prep bow on it, it come 360, it's the same thing you're getting kind of in Circle City right now with the Indianapolis Colts. And the fact that in the training camp, you decided with no good results and not sure what to expect, you just decided to automatically extend your general manager and your coach. And some people were left head scratching when Ursae went and did that. And like, damn, they're 4 into this. We don't have any results. And we're going to extend them to a system of no. And then right now they're smacking 2 in the face, probably more. So that's where I see the comparison, like, damn, Cincy, I don't know about extending them right now. Like, is the timing-wise, at least do it either during the beginning or the middle of the season, at least when you're playing good ball. So
right. We'll
see. Right. They got rained out today, so they could have my hopes down against Pittsburgh. They'll make the game up on Monday. And now the only saving grace is this team, teams that are competing for the division and the wild card, last spot. But it's the most Reds thing ever, by the way. The Cardinals have won 10 straight games. It's the most Reds thing ever. The Reds' final opponents have the second worst win percentage of the teams left. So there's that. But shit, we can't even win 2 out of 3 games to make a movement. And the Cardinals lose. They're going out and beating Milwaukee, who's winning the division and the team. So we'll see what happens. But damn, there's our baseball talk. Oof.
Well, it's been missing for a couple weeks, man. I had some people chime me up and ask me, you know what I'm saying, what happened to the baseball talk? What happened to, you know what I'm saying, you guys at least touch a little bit on it. I'm like, man, football and basketball are so dominant, man, and we run out of time. So, yeah, there's Brandon Reed's baseball rant. It makes up for like the last 3 weeks for sure.
Get ready. You'll hear another one probably next week. John, I want to dive straight in the NFL. Indianapolis Colts lose 27-24 the L.A. Rams. I went back and watched the game again on NFL Game Pass. Colts had their opportunity. Tell me how many times I've said this and you've heard this. Colts have had their opportunities. First quarter, fourth down, Carson Wentz takes a sack, turnover downs. I didn't have a problem with them going forward on fourth down there to start the game. Kind of wanted to like set the tone. You can't take a sack there. Give the guys a chance, whether it be end up being a – you'd rather do that than take a damn sack on the fourth down because you're not getting anything, even a chance. Then you have an interception from the 3-yard line on some flip ass shit that Carson Wentz has done, which he did it twice. He about got it picked off again the second time late in the game, doing it. But and then somehow the quarterback, John, quote unquote, has both ankles sprained on the same play. They thought he might be able to be out. There's words say that he was practicing, but in his press conference, he had his shoe on normal. He was walking normal. So maybe he plays this weekend, but Jacob Eason came in and did the most Eason thing ever, sealed the game, in an interception to Jalen Ramsey, who waved to the Colts goodbye. Colts fall to 0-2. Cooper Kupp could not be stopped in that secondary. John, your thoughts on your Indianapolis Colts 0-2 this year, kind of where we predicted.
Yeah, I kind of go the other way on Coach Reich's play calling there, man. Maybe late in the game, you go for it on the 4th-and-1, but like early in the game, man, you seemingly like don't have the temperature of like how the game is going. So you want to put pressure on the Rams to score. He'd be the first one to tell you he wants to play with the lead. But like I don't know, I think that was a little dangerous. Well, no, I'm saying I think that was dangerous. That's what kind of mess them up from the get, you know what I mean? Going for it on the 4th-and-1 in the first quarter, man. I get it. You know what I'm saying? You want to be aggressive. I get it. You know what I'm saying? But we're not playing NFL 2K. You know what I mean? We're playing a big boy football. So when you look at when you break down some of the plays that kind of happened, you know what I'm saying? Yes, Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp became a household name, at least in the 317 market, right? You know what I'm saying? Even though your top cornerback, what's his name? Xavier Rhodes is out. Yeah, Xavier Rhodes is out. He's been out for like the last two games or so. Led the team, you know what I'm saying? He led the team not only with two interceptions last year, but in a pick six. He's also responsible for like 35 tackles or so. You can't use that as an excuse, man. To you know what I'm saying? You just can't. I mean, he's not a shut him down. He's not a, you know what I'm saying, Reeves Island, you know what I'm saying, itself. But you can't use that as an excuse, man. So again, you know, I take away from yes, defense played very very vanilla their damn self. I think they might have registered one sack themselves. You know what I mean?
It's a big deal. He's had one significant play. Darius Leonard's had one significant play in two games.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I thought the first game everybody was playing like everybody was still playing in like preseason mode, preseason speed. This game, everything kind of up to speed, up to par offensively. Yeah, things were clicking. You can say the pass protection should have been a bit better. I don't know if I'm probably, you know me, Brandon. I mean, we talked off air. I'm more critical of Carson Wentz and Frank Reich and how they, you know what I'm saying, utilize his talent and the offensive line. I don't know. I really don't know. I need to talk to a quarterback whisperer. I don't know if he knows the whole playbook. They cannot be that disjointed. You know what I'm saying? The offensive line cannot be that disjointed from the quarterback. Because, again, in the small sample size, I shared a little bit on our Facebook page, Crossroads Sports Facebook. Last year, the Colts in sacks allowed were second. Now they're 27. You know what I'm saying? I get it. You know what I'm saying? That's 17 games versus two. But, again, what is the primary? And, yes, somebody also reminded me that, you know what I'm saying, you had your left tackle retire on you. You know what I'm saying? Well, you knew he was retiring anyway, but you had your left tackle retiring, and you kind of trying to plug that hole with left tackle. Eric Fisher did play. Davenport said he played, but you know what I'm saying? Nobody, you couldn't tell. Says he was constantly getting,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Well, but again, man, I just don't know, you know what I'm saying, if everybody, you know what I'm saying, if we're still on the same page and, you know what I'm saying, losing. Carson Wentz did enough to, you know what I'm saying, to say, yes, he's the starter. Yeah, but man, Brandon, if he don't know, if they still don't have, they're still having a cohesive, you know what I'm saying, issues, you just can't, again, Brandon, you can't just roll out of bed or roll into practice and not have no preseason. That means, I didn't think it was, like, a lot of people said that was BS or that it wasn't important. I thought it was more important than what people were kind of letting on. So, again, yes, he's familiar with Frank Reich's system, but your system is on the, you know what I'm saying, is on the field versus the system. So again, man, it left a poor taste in everybody's mouth around here, of course. Can they improve? Not with Jacob. I don't. You don't see improving like getting a win against Tennessee on the road with Jacob Eason, who's thrown like five passes total in a, you know what I'm saying, in real game speed. So if Carson Wentz don't play, it'd be a long day for the Colts on Sunday.
News conference. Wentz did not go through walkthrough. He did not practice. I mean, he's fine. He was joking around at the press conference, and he stood fine, walked fine, no noticeable
right.
limp. But if you got two ankle sprains and it's Wednesday, your guy hasn't practiced yet, odds are the Bride dude's not going to play. The spread right now is still Titans -5.5. I jumped on it yesterday. I feel like that's going to jump up to 6 or 7 by the time they announce that Wentz probably isn't playing. If he does play, John, I don't know how much confidence I really give in this Colts team. They're going up against the Titans team, who's just went out and beat Seattle in overtime, and my God, Derrick Henry had a second half. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why the Colts team is going to – so you really – Colts fans, you really were looking forward to seeing Carson Wentz in a big division matchup where you felt like you had a chance initially. Looking at it preseason-wise, because you knew the Rams was going to be tough. You knew Seattle was going to be tough. It was going to be your true test. Division game, division rival, who's going to win the NFC South? And then now you're stepping off with Jacob Eason. So with hearing a lot of backlash on yours, backbeat.
You're in backbeat?
Yeah, it sounds like you're driving. There we go. That's a little better.
Okay.
So you look at, you're just like, well, what odds do you give? I think regardless, even if Wentz played this weekend or plays this weekend, I like Tennessee to win this game at home. They're going to play this off. They didn't play that great in the first game. They went out and got beat by Arizona. Arizona came into town. And now you got Julio Jones on this team. Julio had a great game last week against Seattle. You got Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, two huge wide receivers, and they couldn't do that. So I think Tennessee easily covers this game this weekend, and the Colts are going to be staring at an 0-3 straight in the face.
I'm not necessarily saying we pulled a plug on the Carson Wentz experiment, man, but we're getting to that point. Surely they won't. You don't want to necessarily look ahead to them playing the Dolphins. But, again, you don't want to – I mean, Brandon, I don't know if they would even want to play him if he's hurt. You don't want him to get injured. You know what I mean?
Right. You shut it down once a week and then let it back against the Dolphins. Dolphins are a winnable chance.
Yeah. I think that's something that's viable. And then you really get to see what you got in Eason.
I think you saw enough of that already. It is the one pass he had there.
Well, man, just because you have one interception, I mean, Jalen Ramsey is who he is.
But also, he had a lot of pressure on him to produce in that final drive.
It's
not like you get – he didn't have the whole play, but put it that way, the run game and stuff. But, John, and our sponsor, shout out to our sponsors, Farm Insurance and Scott King. So Scott comes on and says, oh, is Cam Newton affordable? I think he is. If you look at it, I mean, look what they paid for quarterbacks is like Philip Rivers was paid $25 million. Jacoby Brissett was paid $20-something million. Carson Wentz is paying his $20 to $30-some million. I believe they paid $14 million for Brian Hoyer back in the day when he was backup and had to play. So you know the Colts are stupid enough to throw money at quarterbacks. Still paying it. They paid $24 million. Stay away. Is he affordable? I think he is. Will come and fit that system? I don't know if they want to do that and already kill any chance of a psyche you have with Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Cam ain't coming to Indianapolis. We have a dress code here. No.
Wow.
All jokes aside, man, he needs a bigger personality to manage him. You know what I mean? That is what it is, man. You know what I'm saying? I think Cam still has some viability. We saw he still has some legs. still can make the throws. We saw they just didn't really want to. You know what I'm saying? The more it's going to come out little by little that why it didn't work out in New England, they just don't want the distraction. They don't want – Cam wants to be a star both on the field and off the field, and New England is not about that. So if you can have – if you find yourself being a quarterback where you're trying to win games, I don't think necessarily, you know, being down 0-2, even though you definitely Colts desperately need a quarterback, Cam's not their guy.
Okay. John, I want to go into the next matchup. Raiders 26, my Steelers 17. Raiders offense looked great. Steelers defense looked abysmal, but abysmal with an asterisk. Raiders fans come to me on Twitter on Sunday, which I'm like, listen, we got everybody out on defense. Yeah, it's an excuse or whatnot. No Hayden, no Devin Bush, no T.J. Watt after he got hurt early. No nose tackle, Alalu, who just had neck surgery. That's four starters right there on defense that didn't even play. Or they played. It was the first quarter done because of injury. So, hey, yeah, Raiders won. It was great, but did you get the full thing of the Steelers defense? No. I'm more upset with the Steelers offense. Not as much the running game. I love the running game. Anything's better than what the running game was last year. The pass game,
right,
though, we're still doing these damn checkdowns, and we got rid of Randy Feuchner. But, guys, I said it last year when we got rid of Feuchner in the offseason. Matt Canada was the quarterback coach. Matt Canada is the screen king of football. And that's all we're doing right now with Ben. Is Ben hurt? Yeah, apparently he's got a peck issue. So that's going to stop him from throwing it down the field and do everything he can to play this Sunday against Cincinnati. But that was a frustrating loss, but it is what it is. Defense wasn't all there. I can't fault it. Offense didn't look 100% sync. DJ looked good, which is a promising thing. So, sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. So,
did the Steelers? I don't know. I'm not gonna say that. I think their quarterback room is solid. You know what I'm saying? They got a 39-year-old quarterback who they probably thought was gonna be a game manager this year, more so than he's been in like the last. Like, think about the last couple years, man. They've had Ben throwing it, you know what I'm saying, 20 plus times. You know what I'm saying, per game, right? Did they think? I don't know, man. I don't know. Did they outthink? I think Coach Thompson can win with Mason Rudolph. You know what I mean? I think you win four or five games with that, or even Haskins if it comes down to that. But is it? I'm not saying. Is it, you know what I'm saying? We know the time is ticking on Ben's career with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We do know that. I'm just saying. The offensive line. I would question more so. I've never questioned the Pittsburgh Steelers on defense. Yeah, they had some people out. The offensive line is a big, huge question mark for me. Not necessarily like the coach, because Ben is smarter. I'm gonna be honest with you, Ben is smarter than Carson Wentz. He's not gonna go out there and get hurt. You know what I'm saying? Or put himself in position to get hurt. You know what I mean? But the offensive line is a big, huge question for me. Kind of going forward with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. And that was one of the stuff they did not have much of an upgrade for. But run most, and we'll see. We can get some injuries this week. Hollywood Joe Burrow comes to town. I think he's win the
Hollywood
game.
Well, that's good, man. You know what I'm saying? He's perplexed by defenses, man. You know what I'm saying? When you have,
he's hurt,
he has,
too.
Yeah. Well, Chicago put a whooping on him. Chicago showed him some exotic things last week. And I thought he was just going to go up there and have a field day, and that wasn't the case.
Yeah, absolutely. Put it on my list. Let's talk that. Bears, old boy Andy Dalton gets hurt, and Justin Fields has to come in. He managed a pick, but he had some good play calls and was able to run out. And now they announced Justin Fields as starter this weekend for the Bears. Forgive me, I don't have it on my sheet here. Who the hell they're playing this Sunday. I guess I could look real quick. But, Bears look good at home. And they got to go. Let's see who they got. They're at Cleveland this Sunday. So, that'll be a tough one for them against the Browns. Baker, I mean, like I said, Baker got hurt last week too. He got one, John, you don't want your star quarterback trying to come in and make a tackle and lead shoulder first. That's kind of what Baker did. So, but Browns found a way. Like I said, we both picked the Browns to win the AFC North. Bears and Browns. Bears be happy about that win against against Cincinnati. Now you got to take on the Cleveland team. And hey, you could eat. Bears are going to be probably 2-2, okay, at least. Because that's why they have a home game against the Lions. So we'll talk Lions here a little bit, but and then we'll spend 5 minutes talking Lions. Just so everybody knows, no more than 5 minutes. Promise. But Bears easily could be 2-2 coming up. Nagy will find a way to screw this up somehow. This it seems like with Andy Dalton still. But, yeah, I thought Bears looked strong.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of just got to let Justin Fields make the mistakes that rookie quarterbacks make. You know, if you parallel like what the Jets have done with Zach Wilson, you know, they let him they let him throw 4 interceptions, and you know, what I'm saying, there's still kind of a calm. I get it; those coaches and staff are a different set of circumstances. That, you know, what I mean, there's a lot of, you know, what I'm saying, fire talk in Chicagoland. I just, you know, what I'm saying, you kind of, I saw enough in the preseason of Justin Fields to know that you know what I'm saying, that he should have been starting probably from day one. You know what I'm saying? Were they scared of him playing against, I think who they played against, the Rams, game one or something like that? Who, if you're scared against him, I mean, you're like, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to try to hide, you know what I'm saying, the guy that you know what I'm saying, every other weekend when there's a great defensive player that he's playing opposite? Of course not. So you only get better by playing better. And like, he had a fumble. Didn't necessarily walk out of Chicago with a great QBR rating, but he walked out with the victory. So that's all what matters, was ready to play once Andy Dalton got hurt. I said a couple weeks ago that I thought that he'd be injected to the starting lineup week three, week four, and here we are. It's week three, week three, and he's a starter. I didn't think, you know what I'm saying, Andy Dalton would get hurt. And then it's not like Andy Dalton played horrible. It's just Andy Dalton is limited now. Andy Dalton is not Andy Dalton that he was 10 years ago. So, Justin Fields, Aaron Starks, Chicago's galvanized. They are actually lead. They actually lead, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, this short season. They actually, I do believe, they lead the division in wins. I know Green Bay's got on the winning side, but Minnesota's 0-2, and so is Detroit. So, you wanted to get the victories early in that particular division, because if it's not just the Detroit Lions, you know what I'm saying, and you see what Aaron Rodgers turned that switch, you want to get as many victories in front of you that you can, because it's going to be a dogfight down at the end.
Yep. One of the good matchups of the week, Sunday Night Football, Chiefs and Ravens, Lamar Jackson. You got both styles of Lamar in that game, John. You got him throwing the picks early in the game, just looking like crap. You got him running in the second half, and then being spot on with his passes and running and game managing.
Yep.
The fact, you know, as much as I hate the Ravens, those scumbags, I like the fact as he went to the huddle and they said, you want to go for it? Let's go for it. Put a set of nuts on and go out there and get that first down. You get it. If you don't, I mean, they've lost 4 or 5 in a row to the Chiefs, and it was their kryptonite. Lamar went out there, got it done. They win. Critical fumble by Clyde Edwards-Helaire in that game there that cost them the game. They were just field goal with Bucker. But Ravens got the win. Give the Chiefs the first loss. That was a great game, 30-35.
Man, if I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm concerned about Andy Reid's defense. Just because you have superstar Patrick Mahomes who can go out there and you know, saying a 14-point lead. We've seen it in the past, where teams would jump on them, you know what I mean, by 2 touchdowns, and they come back. You can't continuously play like that, man. People want to take the Chiefs out. They have a target on their back now. Once you win that Super Bowl, you have a target on your back where, you know, it's funny, the comments Lamar said after the game, he's like, man, we finally got that monkey off our back. He said, it's not like we won a Super Bowl or something, but it does mean something to them by beating the Kansas City Chiefs. It means something to him. Kel, he's in a contract situation where he's trying to, you know, saying, get some as close to Patrick Mahomes money as possible, right? So feathering the cap of the Ravens, you have to like John Harbaugh as a coach. You know what I'm saying? He has that. He was mic'd up, and he had that. Get that great communication with his star player. You know what I'm saying? Are we gonna go for it? Let's kind of go for it. But again, you know what I'm saying? That's late in the game type of situation. You know what I'm saying? Because if you get a Chiefs back the ball, good luck. It's like, you know, that's instant offense. That's like, you know what I'm saying? Give the Chiefs back the ball. They score a touchdown or a field goal, and they win the game, right? So, great game. Lamar, I will be critical, man, not hypercritical. But Lamar's going to have to – I mean, he plays a lot with the ball in his hands, either as a runner or a passer. He's going to have – I mean, the interceptions are one thing, but the fumbles, you know what I'm saying, the fumbles are going to have to get cured up if you want to be taken – if they want to take the next step, and that's to get to the, you know what I'm saying, to the Super Bowl, the fumbles are going to have to be – all those – the turnovers, period, are going to have to be cured up. So, I don't know, Brandon, you know, going further, that division is going to be – the NFC North – I'm sorry, AFC North is going to be black and blue, and it's going – I mean, I don't – yeah, they scored a lot of points in this game. I don't necessarily – they score a whole lot of points when they play Cleveland or when they play Cincinnati or when they play Pittsburgh. I think – you know what I'm saying? This is a little bit of a misnomer. Again, that Chiefs defense is – you talk about Swiss cheese, man. That's the Swiss of the Swiss cheese right there.
Right. Everybody watching Tampa Bay against the Falcons, man, the Falcons looked so good in that game.
Oh, my God.
They looked like crap. They looked like JV team. There. Sorry, all the JV teams around the state of Indiana, but they look like a JV football team out there. Tom Brady and them continue to slay. I have Brady in my fantasy quarterback, Tom Traffic, and he's just there, just adding to it. Gronk, I'm surprised Gronk's getting all these touchdowns still. You know, I thought they would just let him just rest until the postseason, but Bucks continue to roll, John, and it doesn't look like anything stopping them as they are going to march their way through.
They look like the team that's ready, you know what I'm saying, to potentially go 15-2. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know the two teams. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but they look like they can go 15-2. They play the team that just is like us. It's like, you know, in deep transition. Matty Ice, for all you Colts fans, we dodged the bullet. Last year, people was like, let's get Matt Ryan to the Colts. Man, nah, man, he's done. He's done. They fired – you know what, Brandon? Didn't they fire the coach last year? You know what I'm saying? I guess maybe it was even a mutual partner of the ways or whatever. They need to fire the general manager.
Dan Quinn. Yeah.
They need to fire the general manager. He had all this quarterback talent that came out this year, and especially where they picked. And I get it, man. You know what I'm saying? We were all high on the tight end that they took from Florida. But, again, man – You know, they should have picked a quarterback, if not something, or use their high pick to even trade down to get more picks because it's not working. They also
traded Julio.
Yeah, they are, right. They just gave up on Julio. I don't think that was a trade, was it?
I think it was a trade. I'll look it up. I'll fact check it.
Well,
somebody will.
They looking. Who looks? I mean, again, there's a lot of old two teams right now. Of all the old two teams, man, I think they look the worst, to be honest with you.
They traded for a second round pick in 2022, 2024 pick.
Well, they're building for the future, but the future, you know what I'm saying, NFL is not a future league.
They ain't
going to
be there for the future. Peyton Manning. John, I'll talk Peyton Manning real quick. Peyton Manning, him and Eli, so far, too many night football games, and I haven't turned off their broadcast. I just, you know, him and Eli, I guess they have on there. And one game that way, just get tired of Joe Tessitore and whoever the other person is, Brian Greasy or whoever. But Peyton and them are good. It was reported that Peyton now is interested in some ownership stake with the Broncos. The Broncos are going to be looking to sell here soon, and Peyton wants to have some ownership. If Ursay, do you, because the word is, that's what Peyton was, but was the rain, in some
right.
If you're Ursay, do you guess that now, or are you all pocketed now, and you just sit there and watch the goat, the boat, I can't believe that's a goat, the boat go to Denver.
I would imagine a billionaire like him ain't second guessing nothing, man. He's fine with He was fine with cutting Peyton Manning, even though it was the wrong thing to do. I get it. I mean, I'm always going to say that even though Peyton Manning was hurt, I get it, and the numbers wasn't benefiting Indiana, Indianapolis Colts at the time. I don't know, man. You know, Jim Irsay, he doesn't have a bunch of yes men and Chris Ballard and Frank Reich running the program, but one would think Peyton Manning would probably want to, you know what I'm saying, his voice would a little bit bigger in the front office, probably even also bigger than the owner, you know what I'm saying, considering that he won a Super Bowl with the Colts, right?
Right.
So I don't know, man. You know, it'd been a fairy tale type of deal if Peyton Manning had to rejoin the Colts. As it stands, man, if he joins the Broncos, there's another kick in the nads.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting when I saw that. All right, John, I got two questions for you. Number one, which of these 2-0 team, it can be one or two, or whatever you think, these 2-0 teams will not make the playoffs this year? Raiders, Broncos, Bucks, Panthers, 49ers, Rams, or Cardinals? Which of these 2-0 teams will not make the playoffs?
Wow, which? Oh, man. I first off, man, I got to eat a little crow, man. I thought Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers was going to be dogs, and that has been the case, man. They played some solid football to be 2-0. The West, the NFC West, the Arizona plays in, that's tough. That's a tough call there. And the Raiders are kind of setting themselves up to make the playoffs. So I think I really do think the Raiders make the playoffs. I'm not saying it's going to be pretty, because at some point there's going to be a point in the season where they kind of fade and maybe lose two or three games in a row, right? But I think they have enough carryover with the talent they have in the locker room. And them Gruden's been out there long enough, man. You know what I'm saying? Those guys believe. Remember, they believe me. They like John Gruden as a coach, man. You know what I'm saying? And at some point, Carr's got to step up, man. You know what I'm saying? The sun shines on the dog's ass every now and then. So the sun needs to shine on. Sun's been shining on him. So I would say the Raiders make the playoffs. Some of those other teams, not so much. Some of those other teams still will have pretty good seasons. You know what I'm saying? Maybe 9-8. You know what I mean? But
so you're avoiding answering the question directly.
I did.
Question
I
is,
you,
no, you did not. No, you did not. The question was, which of these 2-0 teams does not make the playoffs? Who does not? So you
all
about
the
Raiders.
Not named the Raiders.
So you're saying the Broncos? Okay, so you're saying Raiders.
Yeah, the Broncos,
just the playoffs.
The Broncos is a good. The Broncos is a good story, man. Good for Bridgewater. They might meet their first loss, the next two losses in the next 2 weeks. You know what I mean? But they've been playing well. They played solid on defense, solid running the ball. Bridgewater's not been turning the ball over heavy like he did like he did in the previous years with the Carolina Panthers. I can't believe in their division ain't cake either, but they ain't winning it. So I like the Raiders.
Because you can't listen a little bit long, so it's over. You said the Raiders playoffs, which yes. You're saying Broncos, no. Buccaneers,
right.
I'm guessing you're saying yes.
The who?
The Bucs.
Oh, Tampa Bay? Tampa Bay.
They're 2-0.
Oh, well, yeah, man. Come on. I just said they live go 15-2.
Okay.
And
you're saying the Panthers.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you said Tampa Bay. I thought you meant some real chumps. Not contenders. Okay, I got you.
No, I'm labeling it. I'm telling you, everybody that's 2-0 in the league. Are any of the teams not going to make the playoffs that are 2-0? So far,
you
said Broncos. How about what was your answer on the Panthers?
Panthers will not. It'd be a good story, though. Good building block story.
And then you got 49ers, Rams, and Cardinals logjam. Obviously, all three of those not getting in. Who are those are you thinking not getting
in?
Of all those
teams, man, you know, I know they're not – they're not technically 2-0. They should be 2-0. Seattle still having protection problems, protecting Russell Wilson, man. If the Colts, I think the Colts are 27th right now, ranked 27th in pass protection. Guess who's 26th? Seattle Seahawks. So they can score, Can they protect the quarterback? Can they run the ball? Can they can they protect your, you know what I'm saying? Ultimately, can they protect the quarterback is what they're going to be boiled down with Seahawks. But, like, nah, man, I don't – that, like I said, that division – the Rams are going to win that division, Brandon, okay? It's hard to bet against. It's hard to say. We're not betting, but it's hard to say the San Francisco 49ers. What you saw, what you've seen, what I've seen with over the 49ers, it's hard to say they're not going to make it, but – I think they might kind of. I think they might fade as well.
Okay, I'll give you my takes real quick. Then we'll do my other question. And then we got D-Cod on hold, so we'll do that. Raiders for me, not making the playoffs this year.
Man.
I'm sorry, it's a feel-good story. They'll start falling apart. Injuries will get to them. It looks good now, but come on, water always finds its level. Right? So. It's no for them. The Broncos.
This is true.
Sorry, Denver. You're not going to make the playoffs either. There's too many other good teams in this league. You're a little before your time. A great defense as long as they can stay healthy. I know Chubb's up with an injury, but great, great story there. Buccaneers, yes. Buccaneers will make the playoffs very easily there. Panthers, like you. Panthers ain't going to make the playoffs either. Christian McCaffrey needs some more weapons there. I really don't think Sam's first year at Carolina is going to get them over the top to the playoffs, even though there's a chance they could be the second-best team in that division. So, 49ers, just like you, I don't believe in the 49ers to go to the playoffs this year. That division is way too competitive. If you look at it, Seattle, the Rams, the Cardinals. I like two of those three teams to make the playoffs out of the division, if not three, with the extra wild card now we have in there. So I think everybody but the 49ers could get in that division. So Rams and Cardinals, I say yes, that those teams get into the playoffs as well. So flip side, John, question. Which of the 0-2 teams will make the playoffs this year? With these 0-2 teams, I'm going to name you seven of them.
Who makes the playoffs out of those teams? Man, Jacksonville
Jack
take off the list.
Giants, Falcons, Lions, Vikings. I only have one team.
Oh, that,
maybe two.
The only team I like out of that list is the Vikings.
Yep, absolutely. The only team I like out of the list.
They just had some misfortune playing, you know what I'm saying, late, bad clock management, that type of thing, late game management, playing with the lead, you know what I'm saying, those type of things, lose on a field goal, those type of things, lose on a fumble, those type of things, you know what I mean? They just got to – they'll get some more wins because, again, it's not – again, we got a whole restart over going on in Chicago. Detroit, pray for them, right? Pray for the Detroit Lions, right? And then we still aren't necessarily convinced about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Now, are we? So, again, they're gonna accumulate some wins. So, I like Minnesota.
Way for them to lose on Sunday at Arizona, too. That was another great, great game. Cousins, wow. He's still getting down the field. Take our call now. Peacock, what's going on, man?
Fellas, how's life going for you today?
It's soggy.
Hey, so
real soggy.
I'm listening to the NFL talk, so I'll hit that first. The 2-0 teams that won't make the playoffs, it for me, it's easy. Who has the least quarterback? And in my opinion, the lesser quarterback of the 2-0 teams is the Denver Broncos. I like Teddy Bridgewater. But what I don't love what's around him. The Carolina group, I love what's around them. The receivers, the running back, the youth of the defense. I understand, you know, Denver has, you know, Chubb and Bradley Chubb and a few others. But I just think that Denver won't make the playoffs as a 2-0 team. I definitely think of those teams, surprising wise, I think Carolina is going to be a surprise. I think they're legit. I think they've got probably the top three running back, obviously McCaffrey. They've got a receiving core that's deep, probably three or four deep. And they got a guy, a quarterback, who's hungry to say, hey, I was a top pick, man. And, you know, you all just threw me to the wolves. I'm going to show you. And look what he did last week against his old team. Well, it was last week. Look what he's going to be doing. Was it last week? Yeah, okay, all right. Look what he did against his old team. He says, I got something to show you all.
First week.
And it was first week. I don't think he's done. I liked Darnold when he was in USC, and I liked him in New York, but he just didn't have – he was a Jet. So I think he's got something to prove. He's a quiet dude. He doesn't speak much. He doesn't say much. He just goes about his business. So I like that about him. So I think Carolina's that team. The surprise, I think Denver won't make the playoffs. 2-0-wise, hey, man, I still say, you know, everything runs through Tampa Bay at the end of the day. So I think they're going to repeat. I think Tampa Bay repeats. I think they're deep in every position. And I think, yeah, I understand Antonio Brown tested positive for COVID this week. He may not play this week. That's fine. But I just believe that they've got the best quarterback that's playing with the most confidence right now. I think that makes a difference. You know, and I'm not a Brady fan at all, but I just you got to call it like
right.
it is, though, man. You can't just be bitter because the dude's a beast, man, and he goes about it, man. You know, he goes about it. So until he slips on a sheet of ice or something or something happens, I'm riding. Yeah, I'm riding with Brady in this one, man. So,
hey,
so my NFL talk is done. What did I tell you guys about my Alabama boys? I said they're vulnerable.
They're vulnerable. They are vulnerable.
Listen, as a fan, I'm the one that said it. No one else had to convince me. And I said I was worried about Florida, but I'm going to tell you this. Couple things. I have some conversations. First of all, if they ever do play Florida again this season, it won't be as close. I don't believe it'll be because the coaching is better on Alabama's side. However, Ole Miss scares me, like I told you guys 2 weeks ago. They're coming off of a bye. They're not playing this week. And they got confidence. Secondly, I'm not so concerned with A&M. Their quarterback has been dinged up. And their offense isn't as strong. But I'm going to tell you, Bama, their issue, and I've said this, they haven't recruited defensive line like they had in 12, 13, 14, and 15. And I know people say, well, what do you mean? They're all five-star, blah, blah, blah. It's a different take. And those who watch recruiting would understand what I'm talking about. They haven't recruited defensive line like they had before. That's their issue, man. They've got the best linebackers in the country, probably best defensive backs in the country, but they don't have run stoppers. They've got guys that are two gap guys. They need big one gap guys. Jerron Payne, A'shaun Robinson, those type of guys. They don't have them right now. And like I said, they're going to take at least one loss, maybe two, this season.
I texted John. Said, and I even put it on Twitter. I said, Alabama. Yeah, I mean they're vulnerable. They can be beaten. Does a team have to play maybe 100% perfect game? Maybe not. Maybe they got to play a 90% game, beat Alabama. But
yeah,
I was surprised the linebackers, how open just Florida was, just picking apart the middle of that defense on Saturday.
Well, when you got defense.
Did
we lose?
That's what happened.
Went out for a second. Go ahead.
That's what happens. It happens when you got D linemen who can't keep the offensive linemen off the linebackers. That wasn't the issue in 12 through 18, 19. And that's the issue now. And again, those are my boys. Now, mind you, Florida played out of their minds in the second half. There's no way they'll play that great again. But what I'm saying to you is, look out for the Ole Miss game. Bama's going to be given probably 6.5 is what I'm guessing. But I'm telling you now, they've got the confidence. They've got five wide. They're not going to run the ball much. They're going to chuck it. They're going to chuck it. That may fall a little bit into the favor. Listen, man, Lane's going to throw the ball. Lane's not going to be running the ball. He may do some trickeration. I definitely tell you that. there would be at least five trick plays by Ole Miss in that game in 2 weeks.
I don't like Ole Miss at all against Alabama. The good thing is Alabama doesn't have to play Georgia till the SEC championship game. I told Brandon over the weekend I like that Georgia Florida game became that much more interesting. Now I think it's in October. The team that's kind of underneath the radar, but not that I think they're ranked seventh right now. It is A&M. A&M's just kind of handling their business now. Thing is, they ain't necessarily. I'm not saying they play cupcakes or anything like that. They ain't necessarily played to the level of, like, you know, say Alabama has played or even, you know what I'm saying, Penn State, for that matter. You know what I'm saying? Who I believe Penn State's in front of them right now. It's six or Iowa, who's fifth. But they put a smackdown on New Mexico this past week. Somebody said, New Mexico, man, who cares? But like, again, New Mexico is capable of putting a point. They put a zero on the board.
You got to watch the game. You know, people to say that, they don't watch it, Jonathan. They just kind of look at the ratings and the rankings and say who's what, right? But I'm gonna tell you, and here's why I say A&M isn't going to be as close, because they don't have as dynamic an offense. You're gonna have to score 38 points to beat Bama.
Right.
You're gonna have to score 38 points to beat Bama, and I just don't think A&M, especially with their quarterback being dinged up. I don't know if he'll be back by the Bama game or not. Maybe not. But you've got to score 38. The only team in the SEC West that can score 38 against Bama is A&M. I'm sorry, is Ole Miss.
Right. Yeah, they have a They have a exotic offense. You know what I'm saying? What do you think?
Yeah.
What was that?
I was told I had to put the buzzer on because that's enough Alabama talk that we've had for the show.
Sat and listened to a dude complain about Detroit Lions.
Listen, I'm just saying. I'm just saying what I'm being told in my ear.
Are you kidding? Detroit Lions. Are you kidding me?
Lions.
The worst franchise in professional sports history. 20 minutes.
I'm being told that people are tired of hearing you talk about Alabama like Paul Feinbaum. So I want to move on from that.
Oh, man.
I'm dropping facts.
Unfortunately, here's what I say. Unfortunately, when you start talking about Alabama, it encompasses all the SEC. So you kind of have to.
Okay, fair enough. All right, opening night, October 13th, Pacer Nation. What do you guys think?
We're starting out 1-6.
I don't know about that.
Look at
the schedule. Believe me, I got the schedule.
We're going to lose to Washington. We're going to lose at Charlotte. We're
going
to lose to Brooklyn.
Three
and three.
We're going to lose to Milwaukee.
3-3. No way. 3-3.
Hey,
can I
ask you this?
Yes.
Let me put a little. Since people are wanting to get to this Alabama talk, let me switch it to the other side of the country. Deacon, if you're USC, and you just got rid of Clay Helton, right? Now you have an interim coach,
you're trying to get USC.
You're right. And if you wanted to try to get back to relevance again, and you want to try to get your top recruits in there, do you as USC? Because that's what my answer would be. Do you take a shot and maybe go after and see if Deion Sanders next season has to come out and be the head coach? Because I'll tell you this, there's other people who have been hired for big coaching positions that have had less experience than what he has.
And I won't speak to his experience. He's better for the HSBCU nation. I would love for him to stay down in Jackson State, man. That's my neck of the woods, obviously Mississippi. I would love for him to stay down there, man, because I think he's good for the HBCU nation, period. I don't want to see him leave, and I don't want to think about him going to USC. But because you're here for a purpose. We all have a gift, right? His gift, to me, in my view, is what he's done with that school and with that conference, and they're bringing the attention. Eddie George is not at Tennessee State if Deion Sanders is not there, man.
True.
He has a higher purpose. He needs to stay there. The guy's got
money. I tell you what.
To take care of himself.
Tell you what, Brandon,
he doesn't need money.
If he does leave, I don't know about that. But if he does leave, it won't be to the West Coast. It'll be to the East Coast. He'll be back to Florida State. They can't be happy with that coach. They cannot be happy with that coach at all.
Here are two guys, and I said this too. It's funny. Here are two guys I say look for Florida State. One is Lane Kiffin, and the other was Deion Sanders. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin is not a Mississippi guy. He's a Florida guy. He's a California guy. Well, he's from California, but he's that guy. He's not Oxford, Mississippi guy, man. I mean, that's
but
he's a
fish in a small pond where he's at now, and he loves that.
Yeah. Yeah. But he also likes being in Tennessee until USC calls.
Yep.
So, granted, he was younger then. But I just think those two guys are guys I wouldn't be surprised after Norvell gets bounced out with his – don't get me started on that Notre Dame game again. But with himself, I would say, you know, Deion or Lane Kiffin at Florida State.
You can't hate on Notre Dame. They 3-0, man.
Listen,
they 3-0.
Listen, let me tell you, I'm going to say this and I'll end it. I hope and pray that they win every game they play the rest of the season so I can see them get mud stomped in the playoffs again. That's better for me. I refuse to bet on Notre Dame anymore the rest of the season because I don't want to jinx it. I just need them to just continue to win.
Yeah.
Pile up the wins, baby. Pile up the wins because that's what I want to see. I want to see 49-7 and Brian Kelly looking like he's constipated on the sideline.
Hey,
that's what I
want to
see.
Last thing I got for you, and it'll take my hat for later on when we're talking college football. I like the looks this week on the card. I've got Notre Dame money line and Notre Dame +6 against Wisconsin and Soldier Field. Wisconsin's good, but damn, Notre Dame find ways to get it done. And if you're giving me plus money, I think they can win the game outright. That's why I'm taking the line on it too.
Man, here's my thought on that. I just think Notre Dame is probably in a regular real season is an 8-4, 7-5 team. But you're right. The softer their schedule is and how things are planning, it wouldn't surprise me taking the points. Their schedule is soft as
a
baby's bottom.
Jack Cone going up against his old school again.
Revenge game.
Money line and points.
We'll see what happens. But I committed to it. I'm not putting another dollar on Notre Dame the rest of the season. I just can't.
Hey,
I just need them to win.
Just Reggie, how bad are Colts taking an L this week?
Oh man. Oh. you said the Colts?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm loving every bit of this. He's got more excuses than the law allows. Oh, our quarterback was hurt. Oh, this man, listen. I told you at the beginning of the season, 9-8, 8-9 at best. I'm sticking with the same thing. I said this on this show, 9-8 or 8-9. You pick.
All right.
So
I'll have more optimism next week for you for the Pacers. I just looked at the schedule and just said, Loss, be a win here. We always suck in Washington. We always suck in Charlotte. So I started out at 2.
Listen,
I see we got Milwaukee.
We
got Brooklyn.
We got a new coach, man. We're ready.
We have the same scrub players, though. You're going to trust Malcolm Brogdon?
Listen, man, you know what I said last year. I said unless you change the team, the results are going to be the same, man. I'm a Pacer homer. But again, they didn't change the roster, so you're looking at the same type of season as last year. I just be real about it. You didn't change the roster. I'll be there 20 times this year. We'll see what happens. Hey, but you guys love the show. Appreciate it, and I'll be listening on Facebook. All right.
Good. Thanks, D. Red 9.
I got to be safe.
All right. That's D-Cott on in, giving us takes. Hey, listen, if the cross listening audience say that there's too much Alabama talk going on, John, then I got to put a stop to it.
That man said Notre Dame got a soft schedule, man. I couldn't believe
I heard you over there.
Notre Dame plays Wisconsin this weekend, and they play Cincinnati the week after that. The Cincinnati Bearcats who just blew, you know what I'm saying, who just ruined IU's, well, further ruined IU's season, man. I get it. IU ain't
IU's
on.
IU's season,
you know,
was
man.
Ruined on the first week when they played Iowa. So let's get that straight to the point.
True enough.
Go ahead. Calling in a half hour, John. Let's go ahead and recap just the weekend. Indiana, Cincinnati. Indiana Hoosiers, big game, motivational weekend. Cincinnati, top 10 team comes in. IU football plays great the first half, and then they just lay an egg in the second half like IU football does. Cincinnati didn't play the greatest game, but found a way to win and took over late game. Answer me this before you give me your take on that game. Who the hell, and I found the articles online, who the hell are these NFL scouts that thought Penix Jr. was going to be a first-round pick? Who? Because
it's
seeing it.
Is it the injury? They got about to be thinking about the injuries. He seems to be, I don't know, he's not the same. He's not the same guy he was. The turnovers, as a quarterback, as a pro quarterback, or even as a college quarterback, as we're talking about, you might be able to, you know what I'm saying, survive a loss. You know what I'm saying? Or not incur a loss with one interception, man. I think he had three. And I think he's averaging like 2.5 over the last three games that they had. Even in Idaho, I think he threw an interception. So,
right.
You know, see a lot of questions around Michael Penix Jr. I know there's a lot of talk about Jack Tuttle. You know what I'm saying? A lot of fan talk and a lot of, you know, sports radio talk about Jack Tuttle taking over. As a starting QB, Jack Tuttle's good. If anybody remembers the game from last year, Jack Tuttle played where Penix Jr. was at the small sample size, especially against Ole Miss. Jack Tuttle had like 200 and some odd plus yards. Like, so we can't throw the ball, but it's a different dynamic that you have. You know what I'm saying with Michael Penix Jr. out there versus Jack Tuttle. Do they need the infusion? Do they need to potentially, you know what I'm saying, wake Michael Penix Jr. up, you know what I mean? Because if he's hurt, that's one thing. But because we know he's better talent. Talent for talent, he's better talent than Jack Tuttle. But, again, you don't want to, you know what I'm saying, keep on putting, your team out there, you know what I'm saying, these kids out there. And Penn State's right around the corner, you know what I mean? And they ain't going to be – they're going to be unforgiving. You know what I mean? They're playing Western Kentucky this weekend. A team that can put up, you know what I'm saying, 25, 30 points. You know what I mean? So again, you don't want Penix Jr., you know what I'm saying, going out there. You want him to get right, but you don't want him to, you know what I'm saying, potentially throw it's not a gimme game by any realm of imagination, but you don't want him out there, you know what I'm saying, costing you the game. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, you want him at his best. So we might – I don't know, Brandon. We might see a little Jack Tuttle this weekend. Just to wake up Michael Penix Jr. so that he's ready and sharp against Penn State.
Purdue, no name. Purdue, the Boilers were in it. Played pretty well, I thought. You know, they can't get away with field goals up in South Bend, though. You can't just end your possessions with field goals. When Notre Dame scored touchdowns, David Bell is hurt. Scary play.
Yep.
Luckily, he's okay. In concussion protocol. Not sure if he'll be playing this weekend against Illinois, but Oilers lost by 16. They did not cover like I was hoping they would. But
did you say Purdue?
I'm trying to think if I did or not. Let me look at that. I did two things. I'm pretty sure I picked Purdue on our show here. And on my actual DraftKings, I took Notre Dame cover. So I think I made a switch when I made DraftKings actual picks because I cut the money from Notre Dame with covering it. I think I made that one Saturday morning. I just thought Notre Dame was going to be up, you know, and it's what I thought they would do. They run off something left with 6 minutes to go. Purdue made a quarterback change, Brown and them did. It wasn't injury related or anything to try to get a little push start. They just be 4-1. I said the next games are winnable, and then the bowl games. So, So we'll. See. But shout out Purdue. You're getting there slowly. No names, soft ass schedule, apparently, according to Decott.
Oh wow.
We'll talk that.
Nah, man. The way I watch that game from start to finish. Purdue was in it to win it. There were some before they got kind of called out by the coach at halftime. The offensive line play was not there for Notre Dame, which is like, you know what I'm saying, it's like the exact opposite. If anybody knows anything about football, that's like offensive lineman youth. You know what I'm saying? The guys get drafted and go to the, you know what I'm saying, go to the pros playing for Notre Dame from the offensive line anyway.
Right.
I think Purdue did register like one sack in the first half. They put a rush on Cohen. I mean, Cohen, hey man, let me tell you something, man. He can throw. That dude can throw.
Oh, yeah.
His accuracy's not there though, but he can throw. And then it didn't help. So you can say we can crap on his accuracy, but we can also crap on his receivers because they had five drops, two from Lindsey and two from Austin. You know what I'm saying? But like five altogether. So in order for Notre Dame, so I get it what DeKalb was saying. In order for Notre Dame to beat one of the top premier programs with the top four, or you know what I'm saying, they'd have to play a real special game where they didn't have drops and they protected quarterback because again they were in his lap a lot.
Right.
And then he helped Brian Kelly even played the backup a little bit, who has a little bit more of a little bit. I mean, he's better with his legs than he is with his throwing arm, and to try to keep Purdue off balance. So they, you know, Notre Dame pulled out a lot of stops. They didn't pull out all the stops, but they put, you know what I'm saying, they didn't necessarily throw the kitchen sink, but they threw a lot of, you know what I'm saying, a lot of the, you know what I'm saying, forks, knives, and spoons to beat Purdue and to get to win by double digits, man. So it wasn't necessarily easy. I can't necessarily say it was an easy game at all. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I just think that the Irish, for them to compete against anybody, they're going to have to figure out how to keep their quarterback upright. Because, again, that dude can throw. He's got an arm on him, and Brian Kelly ain't scared to go. If it's 31, he ain't scared to throw it down the field. I'm not like, wow, dude, all you need is one. And he's throwing it 20, you know what I'm saying, he's throwing it 20 yards, man. So, but that's going to be the key here. Defensively, again, football in this brand of football that we have here, in you know what I'm saying, now it's offensively minded. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily defense. Do they have some guys that can go get it, you know what I'm saying, or cover? Sure. That's going to look a little differently if they play some of the, you know what I'm saying, the top burners in the SEC or even the ACC play, and potentially when they start some of their Pac-10 schedule, because they play Stanford and they play USC this year. It's going to be interesting. But the biggest takeaway I took from the last couple of games with Notre Dame is they have to keep their quarterback upright because, again, man, sometimes a lot of situational times, man, Cohen, they've been in Cohen's lap and he hasn't had time to throw. But, you know, I don't necessarily think to take a turn on Purdue. Again, I think they're going to be competitive too. Are they ready to can they catch a Purdue or even a Minnesota sleeping? Yeah, because those teams aren't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, haven't played necessarily as sharp and strong as they are capable of either. As a program, I don't think they're there just yet. But again, this with the team that they have right now, again, with the Bell injury hurt, you know what I'm saying, I mean, it hurt them a lot, you know what I'm saying, because, again, the Horvath injury hurt them even more because, you know what I'm saying, I think he's out. He's potentially out for the season. I think he's got a broken bone. I mean, yeah, he's got a broken bone in his leg, I do believe. But I think there was some speculation about him coming back. But I'm like, how the hell are you going to come back with a broken bone? You know what I mean? But I don't know. They you know what I'm saying? Again, Purdue,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Should they finish in the top 4 to 5 and 6? Yes. If they finish bottom of that, it's a disappointment.
Speak of disappointment, good segue. Ball State went out to Wyoming and laid an egg.
Oh, my God.
Beat an egg.
Oh, my God.
I took them in the points.
You know what? Wyoming, I walked away from that game thinking Wyoming might be better than what people are alluding to. I think a lot of times, you know what I'm saying, people focus on the Power Five and forget that, you know what I'm saying, there's these schools out here that are trying to be the next Boise State. I think Ball State, they're trying to do that. You know what I'm saying? Again, they play Penn State this year. They play in Wyoming. They play Army, I think, and then like 2 weeks or if not this coming week. So they're trying to improve their scheduling. You know what I'm saying? But not playing, you know what I'm saying, vanilla teams is just like them. You know what I'm saying? MAC teams or even, you know what I'm saying, what conference? Missouri Valley teams, I think what Indiana State conference they're in. Trying to play teams that they know that can, you know what I'm saying, give them a challenge. You know what I mean? But they went to Wyoming and the offense forgot how to play. Again, they had a lot of change up on the offensive line. Guys were out, not necessarily with COVID or anything like that. Guys were just out with little stingers, little injuries or whatever. So there was some rearrangement where second tier guys, third tier guys were made starters. And Coach New said they missed assignments. But again, you both quarterbacks played. Plitt looked
right.
Like, you know what I'm saying, you rhyme with that word, it begins with an S-A. Plitt looked like, you know what I'm saying, I can't remember the backup name. He didn't play much better because both of them, like I said, both of them threw interceptions. They did get a significant push from the running backs. But again, 12 points when the other team scored, what, 30 or 45? Was that what
it
was? Was that
what something at halftime?
Yeah. 33 at halftime. I mean, yeah. So, yeah. The defense, God bless them, registered one sack. And the wideout, Jason Jackson, had like 92 yards on 10 catches, man. So, you know, Wyoming kind of just did what they wanted to do. Wyoming, you know what I'm saying, they you know what I mean, if they go to be 5-0, they might tiptoe into the top 24, top 25 or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But, again, you know what I'm saying, there's, you know, it was a measuring stick game that Ball State walked out. You know what I'm saying? Probably hugely disappointed because they probably thought they were going to win, but you know what I'm saying? They couldn't get the offenses because they couldn't get it clicking, and like I said, they walked out. You know what I'm saying? With a damn near 30-point loss.
Okay. 33 points. We won't talk Bama in Florida because we talked it earlier with Decott.
Right.
Talk Penn State, and Auburn. Wideout.
Good game.
Great game. I watched the whole thing beginning to end, 6.5. I thought it looked great. Somebody asked me where they would fit in the pack or in the SEC. I still think they might be the fourth best team in the West. You're talking about it's ranked, you know, in the top 10 nationally, but I still think they'd be the best team in the SEC West. They were playing there. So they played well against Western. Bo Nix, all I hear is, oh, we got Bo Nix. Okay, well, Bo Nix played all right. I mean, it's going to take a little more than that. I was impressed with the battle that Auburn had. You know, they going up to the white, playing in the whiteout, I didn't think they'd have a problem because SEC football is totally different from the Big Ten. So Auburn is able to handle those hostile crowds at the time. I'm impressed. I think I'm more impressed how well Auburn is, though, this year compared to where we thought they would be going into this season. A real shot to be down here in Indianapolis in December to take on Hoover from the other side. So, Penn State look good.
Yeah, Penn State look good. Penn State look like they could hang with some of the top tier big dog teams down in the SEC. If you're into that SEC versus, you know what I'm saying, I'm not necessarily, I'm into school versus school. Penn State does not cheer for Iowa when Iowa plays whoever from down south. They just don't. They're worried about their own program. But again, you know what I'm saying, kudos to Auburn for making the trip. You know what I mean? That's part of scheduling. That's like I said, you don't, you know what I'm saying, yes, you're going to play. Yes, Auburn knows they're going to play, you know what I'm saying, the Floridas and the Georgias and the Alabamas of the world, but you know what I'm saying, hell, they got to test themselves outside of their conference. And they got a good test, and like I said, it wasn't a blowout, tightly contested game. You know what I'm saying, play here, play there, if things could have been different. When Decott was on, he kind of said something thinking about Alabama losing two games. I couldn't imagine that happens, the world would unravel, wouldn't it? But I just don't know, and we've kind of speculated this before. Iowa, Penn State, and Ohio State. Do they beat up? And then how can I forget Michigan? Even though they're not necessarily in the top 10, they're going to beat up on one another. Meaning they're going to incur losses between each other. And because of where they are currently, You know what I'm saying? Iowa being fifth, Penn State being sixth. I think Michigan might be 17th, and I think Ohio State's 10th. You know what I'm saying? The biggest point is like when they play one another, can they move up, right? Can they leapfrog, you know what I'm saying, into back into the top four, top five? I don't, you know what I'm saying, I don't know. I'd rather we keep on rambling. If the Big Ten beats up on itself, can they be out of the conference? Of the national championship games. I don't it's possible.
Right.
Depending upon what happened with the Pac-10. I'm sorry, shame on me.
Damn.
Pac-12 and the Big 12 championships. Because let's say Oregon goes undefeated. Let's say, oh my God, we'll get to them in a second. Let's say Oklahoma goes undefeated. You know what I mean? Does that kind of carry over to where the Big Ten would be out of the picture? Because you can bet your bottom dollar, whoever it is, whether it's Alabama, Georgia, Florida, whomever, the SEC champion is going to be playing a national championship game or one of those four games. So,
right.
again, that kind of just leaves, and you know what I'm saying, what kind of happens with Notre Dame if they only lose one game? You know what I mean? It's going to be, like I said, it's indicative of, like, my score on our Crossroads pick'em list, man. This college year is hard to – kind of figure out, because again, there's a lot of, I'm not saying parity, but there's a lot of teams that aren't as playing as sharp as they should right now, and it might potentially, you know what I'm saying, cause them down the road, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I did a before we take our next call, we'll I had a bad week,
yeah,
in our pick'em. I had a bad week. 2-7.
You thought all that.
2-7.
Bragging too much.
2-7. Now I'm 3 games of you. Of you, and I'm 1 game back of Tanner. You went 7-2. Tanner went 6-3. I went 2-7. But actual DraftKings bet wise, I did pretty well this weekend. So maybe,
yeah,
I need to switch up and do more of that instead of hammering these picks for our listening audience. Maybe we'll get our guy on real quick. We got 15 minutes before Tanner calls in. We'll get our guy, KFAN Connection, Fred Feldner. Fred, what's going on?
What up, though?
How we doing? Ready for tonight?
Dude, I've been ready. I already smashed my Jets pizza. I'm good to go. Got some cookies in the oven. I'm ready. Snacks on deck. It's going to be a big show tonight.
What are we expecting tonight? Obviously, the dream match, Omega versus Brian Danielson. That's obviously your main headliner. I saw a picture already of the stadium and how it's looking, and it looks amazing. Which match are you looking forward to? Is it Danielson and Omega match, or is there something on the undercard you're looking at?
I mean, honestly, the whole card. Like, obviously, Danielson and Omega stands out. That's a dream match. I'll send you guys, once I get off the call, there's a video and a GIF of Omega and Danielson back when they were wrestling in PWG, and they're like doing thumb wrestling. I thought that was hilarious. But yeah, I mean, I'm super hyped about that. And from what I've heard from both people, that they're really going to give it their all tonight. This is the biggest show with the biggest capacity crowd they've had. This is feeling kind of like All Out Part 2. So that, of course. But, yeah, the whole card. I mean, I'm hyped to see Brian Pillman in a singles role, and especially juxtaposed with, like, an MJF. I think that's a great feud, and it kind of seems like this is the coming out party for Pillman Jr. So I'm really excited to see him kind of take flight. Cody Rhodes and Malakai Black, I mean, that story's been going for several weeks now, so – that seems to be coming to a head tonight.
I like
Soho and Britt. I mean, you just, yeah, the whole card, Sting and Darby versus FTR. Like, there is not a bathroom match at all in 2 hours.
Oh, man.
Tonight.
They disrespected,
right,
Sting. Disrespected my man.
He'll be open. That'll be opening the show.
He'll be curtain jerking.
Exactly. Yeah, I listened to 2 good interviews today. I'm going to promote a different podcast. Wrestling with Barstool Sports. I thought Brandon Walker did a great job with the entire wrestling industry on there. And I watched 2 interviews today he had with CM Punk, also Bryan Danielson. And Danielson talking about tonight's match, how he said it's going to be interesting. The WWE people that watched Daniel Bryan perform, how different it is when it's Bryan Danielson. And his motto, he wants everybody to do the chant, "I'm going to kick your effing head off," kind of do it. And he's wanted them to build that back up. And it's a different, more violent type of wrestling that Bryan Danielson is compared to when he was Daniel Bryan. So I thought that was interesting, kind of how he's going to be changing his type of wrestling back to what he was previously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you didn't watch before WWE, you see, like, the cartoon Long Hair, the Goat, and all that stuff, all those references. But the crowd literally, like you said, chanted, "You're going to get your effing head kicked in," and they would hit the barricade, and, like, it's like a song. And he would tell people that, like, in promos and stuff. So, like, this is not – we're not seeing the TV, you know, G rating Daniel Bryan. We're seeing the pro wrestler, the American Dragon, tonight. So I think if you haven't, you're going to be in for a surprise to see just how physical he can be and just to see the difference in the wrestling styles once the, you know, the neutering process is reversed in a way where these people have their full, you know, luxury and leisure to just do as they please within reason. But to really go out there and be creative and put on an innovative match and not have any, you know, red tape as far as what they can and can't do. So, man, like I said, can't say it enough. That match is going to be incredible. And honestly, and I don't know about you guys, but, I mean, is there anything other than a draw tonight? Like, is there an actual winner? Do you do that to either guy right now? Omega's the champ. You're gonna drop the champ out on TV. Already lost to Christian, and then it's Danielson's first match. So
I think you do if you want to have a title match. Yeah, somebody runs in. I don't know on All Elite side, and that goes that way. They get your title match at a later date. I don't know. Danielson was kind of talking about that on the interview today, kind of how they don't. Your first match and you're not getting a title match and that's the kind of AEW way and you kind of build the thing. And he was talking about the storylines and building with, it's going to be interesting to see tonight. I think Danielson wins tonight. I think they do have a clean finish that will finally set that title match at the fourth pay-per-view, I guess. But really, I mean, right now with hot as Omega is, do you want to take the title off him at the next pay-per-view? I mean, I don't think you do. But it'll be interesting, for sure.
I mean, I honestly feel like the writing's on the wall with the Bucks losing. That the Omega title loss is coming. I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, but I feel that like that elite reign with all the titles is kind of once the Bucks lost, it's like, huh? I think maybe Kenny will drop it, and it does seem like the right time to drop it and to the right opponent. However. I mean, could we see Hangman get involved tonight and it just end that way? And we get like a Dusty Rhodes finish and now sets up. And you could even do triple threat. If you don't want to do them guys one-on-one again and run it back that quickly, then maybe you could do a triple threat where Brian has an argument that, I had it won if it wasn't for Hangman's like, I had the number one contendership before I left. So maybe I know they're not really big on like triple threat championship matches, but maybe they do kind of throw that in the mix. So I don't know. The good thing is there's a lot of questions that can be had and the unpredictability factor is like at a high.
Right.
It's not one of those things where I'm looking at this card and I'm like, it's obvious that bleep blurb, like, you know, they might mess around and have Ruby wet. Like, you don't know. So it's just the energy is going to be high level. The like I said, the fact that things are just kind of really unpredictable right now for this, not just this show, but just the company in general. I mean, we still got Bray Wyatt lurking in the shadows. His contract's up Halloween. So as of Halloween, which is a Sunday, he's a free man and he can do as he pleases. So it's just like kind of like the sky's the limit right now. We're seeing a lot of dissension in the Dark Order, and it almost seems inevitable. That's what they're setting up here with Wyatt kind of taking Brody Lee's, you know, torch that is passed on. that it's the only thing that makes sense with that storyline. All of a sudden, they're beefing. And so, but again, like I said, that's just when TV, not just pay-per-views, but TV is unpredictable, where it's Wednesday and you're like, man, I don't know what's going to happen tonight. That's just such a good, refreshing feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
It just kind of sells the sale.
Let me ask you this, Fred. What's your thoughts and how excited, and it kind of, it caught me off guard, but how excited was it to see that AEW working with the Owen Hart Foundation and that agreement working together? So now you get Owen's shirt, action figure. He's going to be in the video game. He's going to get his he wasn't able to get WWE. I thought it was awesome. Perfect match.
Oh, it is a perfect match. And what you're seeing here, I think, is indicative of AEW and what Tony Khan's been able to put together. And to bring CM Punk into the mix, too, I know it's two different circumstances. You know, poor Martha lost her husband, a beloved wrestler who was a more athletic Bret Hart. I said it. Like, rest in peace to Owen. But, I mean, and I love – Bret is top five to me. I love him. I've met him. He's very kind. He's in my top five. But, man, if Owen had a little more – you know, opportunity to actually go, we, you know, like he would be
right
in everybody's top five. I think that you look at Punk and you also look at the situation with Martha Hart. If you can get both of those individuals to trust pro wrestling again, that kind of just, that's indicative of the magic that's going on with Tony Khan's company right now. Like, you took two people notoriously known for just not, and rightfully so, especially from Martha Hart.
Fred,
I have complete distrust
for
the pro wrestling industry.
Fred, even Jim Cornette's coming around. He had some kind words for
right?
Tony Khan.
Right? Yeah. Right? So the fact that we're going to get Owen in video games again, the fact that we're going to have Owen Hart action figures once again, the fact that we are going to see an Owen Hart tournament. And can I just play Super Booker here? It's too tempting to not do this, fellas. Hear me out on this.
Uh-oh.
This is a perfect opportunity. Whenever they do this, I'm throwing this idea out, free of charge, Tony Khan. I think it would be great if they did a G1-style tournament the way that New Japan does, which New Japan's G1 is currently going on right now, where it's like 20-something shows. Each show, there's like four matches, and it's a point system. And at the end of it all, there's an A block and a B block. Whoever has the top 2 points in the A face off for a semifinal, and then the B, so on and so forth. And the winner of those face off in the G1 final. I think that would be incredible because it makes captivating TV. It makes TV outcome-based where you're like, okay, so we're expecting this outcome like 2 months down the road, and every show matters more than it did so before. I say this to put the feather on the hat. How epic and incredible would it be now that we've seen, you know, a certain individual kind of tweeting and speaking out, how incredible would it be if the winner of the Owen Hart tournament was none other than the namesake of his WWE character, none other than Mr. Kevin Steen.
Oh, wow. Well, he's got to get there first. Yeah,
but, like
I
said, playing
I don't know
Super
that's coming.
Booker. But how incredible of a debut would that be? And the feather in the hat, like I said, a fellow Canadian, someone who that's
right.
His idol, like it's one of his favorite wrestlers. He named his son Owen, like his son is named Owen. How
right.
Incredible and like full circle would that be to have an Owen Hart tournament won by a fellow Canadian and a bona fide superstar, Kevin Steen? I think that would be the perfect
way. People
at
home that don't know, we're talking to Kevin.
Yeah, if he were to jump ship, that would be such an incredible thing. So, yeah, it's that relationship, that whole thing. And especially, too, on such a black eye in the pro wrestling industry of a wrongful death that happened. What a great way to turn it around and sort of do the best that you can to keep his name and relevant and beyond just those topics of his death, to really have his legacy live on in other ways. It's just for not just for pro wrestling, but for Martha and the Hart family, I think is a great way to heal and heal that family and heal the pro wrestling world. So,
right. Question for you, Brad. I came prepared to throw some notes for you. If you follow Fred I wanted to make sure that at this concert last week, there's no Royal Rumble going to break out with whoever was to your wife blocking view and just acting like an idiot. I just want to make sure no Royal Rumble break out there.
So you kind of were cutting out there, and I couldn't really make out what you were saying. You said
no. I was making sure the last week at the concert you were at, there was no Royal Rumble that broke out. Saw the idiots to you.
Yeah. Dude. So yeah, it's concert season, and I have a concert part-time gig, so I'm constantly at shows. There's been a stretch the last 2 weeks where the previous week I had 4 concerts in a row, and then the following week I had 4 concerts in a row. So, we were in the pit for Dead & Co., and this doofus was fulfilling the stereotype of, white people not being able to dance worth a crap. And he was throwing his elbows into it and stuff, and my wife is, and we're against the back barricade, and he's just throwing whatever move he's throwing out. I don't even know what to call it. And yeah, like an axe handle slam when they jump off the rope. He was he was on the ground just doing an axe handle, but not jumping on someone. It was like he had his arm up in the air, so yeah. And wifey and I both, one big pet peeve of ours is the lack of spatial awareness by other human beings that seems to run rampant in our society. So that's all that was.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And then at Megadeth, I had a similar situation, but luckily I'm 6'4", 270, so I can knock people on their ass when they want to try to shove.
You kind of had the Kevin Nash a little bit. You kind of had the look that Kevin Nash looked. So, so I'm considering tomorrow night, Mick Foley's in town tonight for a comedy show over Irvington. He's in Bloomington tonight. I went to a Hacksaw Jim Duggan one a couple years ago, but considering the Mick Foley one tomorrow night.
I've attended, and it's a great time. His stories are kind of the same as he does those events and those gigs. But if you have not seen it, I highly recommend it. It's a great time. The stories are great. Mick, of course, one of the sweetest people in pro wrestling. He clowns me pretty much every time he sees me. The one time he met me, he said I looked like the dude from Maroon 5. I've heard that a time or two, especially when I had short hair. I'm way bigger than that guy, so that's funny, but Mick's such a great guy, and the stories are really hilarious. Terry Funk stories, making fun of Al Snow, of course, Hell in a Cell. If you're a wrestling fan, I highly recommend just seeing Mick just do a storytelling, event at least once. It's worth checking out.
Okay. I got 2 minutes left with you. Didn't play that bad tonight, Lions. It wasn't that bad.
You cut out on that. I think you were talking about the Lions.
Yeah, Lions. They didn't play too bad starting out.
That's the life of a Lions fan. It's like that meme with Kevin Hart with all the faces on it, like Lions fans in the first quarter, second quarter, so on and so forth. I was excited. I was ready to go. That opening drive, Goff was just flawless. Hockenson getting that big catch. Everything,
right.
The ball was in motion of man. And what's annoying about it is, of course, the slurp fest on Monday night or whatever nationally broadcasted game, where if Brady or Rodgers is in the game, all you hear about, even when they're losing, is, wow, this is no one saw this coming. Wow, this is shocking. Wow. And they're not giving any credit to the Lions, and they're just sitting here wow, maybe Rodgers' dog died. Who knows what happened? The Lions, no one. So I was ready to put the game on mute, even with them winning. And even with them winning, as my Lions faithful know, no lead is ever a big enough lead, and no time on the clock other than zeros is enough time on the clock to be comfortable with a lead. So not that I was pessimistic. I was hyped going into the second half. There's nothing in my life other than Ohio losing to Michigan that makes me happier than the Lions beating the Packers. It is a joy that I cannot express to someone. It is euphoric.
But yeah, second half came and they looked like an entirely different team. I guess, you know, cool, you beat fourth stringers on a secondary that, like, probably wouldn't make the Ben Davis team. So, cool,
you threw touchdowns
on kids that are fourth and fifth stringers. Awesome. Congrats, guys.
Fred, you said the magic word before we let you go, man. I'm ready to stamp Michigan. They play a little bit of an easier schedule than most, but they look like they're primed and ready. I mean, they start the Big Ten play this weekend. They play Rutgers. Rutgers is a little bit different animal this year as opposed to the years previous. So it should be a little bit more of a test against Michigan how they did. They scored 60, I do believe, against Northern Illinois. My goodness. But, like, I'm ready. I'm Fred. I'm ready to almost stamp. Well, not stamp, not almost. I think they're going to steal a win potentially against Penn State or even against Ohio. Play spoiler against Ohio State against the last game of the season. So
I mean, Ohio's
I'm ready.
Struggling with Tulsa. Ohio's struggling with Tulsa. Come on.
They did.
Come on, Skip. Come on, Skip. Dude. Ohio's struggling with Tulsa right now, bro. Like, there's a lot of question marks with them. They're a young team. And Cream always rises to the top. They always seem to kind of get it together, even if they have slow starts. But to quote Rasheed Wallace talking about the Lakers when the Pistons squashed them in the finals, we're not scared of them cats. Like, every year it's the same thing. I will say this. I was pretty pessimistic coming into the season. I wasn't happy with them, you know, having Harbaugh back for another season. To quote Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber, though, if this keeps going, if this train keeps rolling, he'll totally redeem himself. If we can beat Sparty, we can beat Ohio. And I, as a Michigan native, now Hoosier transplant, can finally walk my happy ass up to the Lucas Oil Stadium with my amazing blue on in December to see the Michigan Wolverines contest for a Big Ten championship. If he can pull that off, he can totally redeem himself. The thing with Michigan real quick is their offense is more balanced than it has been in several years. Their run game is super dangerous. Even special teams, that kid on special teams, I forget his name on the spot, but that kid is like on roller skates compared to the competition. And then most importantly, the defense. And I know they're playing cream puff teams, but they just seem more disciplined and playing together. You can kind of tell there's probably more brotherhood on this team than there's been. And I like the fact that I saw this stat just today. Harbaugh's played 110 players. Like, there's been 110 different positions. Like, everybody's getting a chance to play. So I like that, too. So the offense looks pretty balanced. Cade is looking, you know, pretty solid so far at quarterback. And the secondary has been weak for several years since, I mean, we're going back to the Jabril Pepper days when their secondary, you know, actually looked stellar. So I hope everything can just keep building on the momentum each week and just taking it one Saturday at a time. But, I'll be there to stamp Michigan. If all those aforementioned things happen come December.
I'm ready to stamp. Like I said, Rutgers will be a little bit different. I don't know if they'll put 40 up on Rutgers. And the week after that, they'll play probably a pissed-off Wisconsin after they played Notre Dame this particular week.
Yeah.
But I think Michigan looking good this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Hard to debate that one.
Fred, it's been a pleasure. Enjoy tonight. It'll be a great show.
Hey, Freddie Felt, FREDDIEFELT 313 on PS5. If anybody wants to get waxed by Cade Cunningham, Detroit Pistons, come holler at your boy.
All right. Thanks, Fred.
I'm out. Thanks, fellas.
All right, Fred Felner, Cade Connection. John, we got 20 minutes left of the show. Tanner's going to be on in here in a moment. While we're waiting for him, we're going to do two quick ad reads, and then we'll be back.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Motorsports. Why they're created and dream born, specialized in custom motorcycles, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com. Like we said, ship worldwide, custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lights, custom wheels. They carry all top brands and more. Check them out today. Give them a call, 833-TOP-MAV, 833-746-7628, or maverickcustommotorsports.com, and let them know Crossroads sent you. All right, John, we are back, and we've got college football. We've got the pick'em. We've got our guy, Tim Penrod, which for now we'll stay away this week, at least from the Rick Pera intro with all the hot water he's in. But, Tanner, we're back another week. I had a shitty week of a 2-7 record. While you had a 6-3 record and Jonathan had a 7-2 record. Not too bad. I'm 13-4 overall. Jonathan's 16-11, and Tanner, you're 14-13. So we're nipping on the heels, JB. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, I'd say a smart move on the Nature Boy call right there. So yeah, let's let that water settle a little bit. But yeah, had a good week. Like some picks, had some other things that could have went the other way. But, yeah, things are going good. Had a really good week. I might have had a beverage-infused absolute four-digit bet I put on the Bucks earlier on Sunday that hit. That would have been bad if it would have went the other way this week. But it hit, so it was a good week for TP in the betting world. So it's good.
Nice. Yeah, I had some good ones over the weekend. The Penn State, that was a huge one I hit on.
Yeah.
Also, Florida took Florida plus 14.5. That was a good one. Kind of looking this week, Tanner, the lines I like this week, I wrote down a couple. Alabama first half, I really, really like. This week, playing some scrub of Southern Miss.
Oh, 100%
I like Florida.
Alabama first half.
Yeah,
yep,
I like Florida minus 20 against them. NC State plus 12. I think they're playing Clemson this week. Clemson
does
not look good.
I read a thing on that. Yeah, I was reading a thing on that too. Someone said take NC State there as well.
I like Rutgers plus 20.5 as well against Michigan. This week I'm going to take them on. I think they can cover. Looking good here. I like. Here's the big one. I like your game, spread and money line against Wisconsin.
You like Notre Dame?
I like them this week. And money line, spread and money line.
He's shocked.
Oh man! The Irish came off a good win. I mean, it's an in-state rivalry, but sick covering and on the money line. And
they got to take on Jack Cohn. They got Jack Cohn this week. He's going to take on his old team. I'm taking him.
Oh, that's the Stone Cold Nuts move right there. I like it. Oh, man. Alabama first half, though. I love that. I'll take that any day, twice on Sunday.
Hey, how bad was it? Before we do our picks for this week, me and Jonathan talked already, but how about Ball State just laying an egg against Wyoming?
Dude, they played terrible. They've done like a 180 on me compared to what I saw them play like last year. I thought they'd be a lot better. I mean, I might be undercutting Wyoming, but I thought this year they'd be playing a lot better with all the starters coming back from the cut and everything else. But they've been a little bit unimpressive to me. If I was the AD, old Mike Nittle might be on the hot seat.
Yeah. All right, let's do our picks for this week. I'll say mine, and then we'll go Jonathan, and then we'll go Tanner. First one we have, I don't know. Your audio's cutting out a little bit. I don't know if you got me on speaker in the call or not, maybe.
Hold on. We'll try it now.
Ooh, that's a hell of a lot better.
All right.
Notre Dame, number 12, playing Wisconsin at Soldier Field. Wisconsin's a 6.5-point favorite. I've already tipped my hat. I already said I'm Notre Dame and the money line in this game. Jonathan, who do you got?
I got the Irish. At Soldier Field, I got the Irish.
Tanner.
Hey, everybody's going that way. This is the one time. I'm going to go with the Badgers and the six, laying the 6.5, and I want the Badgers.
Okay, going to go Badgers on there. Next one, Toledo.
Yeah.
-4.5, Toledo Rockets -4.5, Ball State. Give me Toledo and -4.5. Ball State's got to show me something.
Oh, man. Shame on you. This is an alumni show?
It is. They got to show me something.
You're right. I'm going
Ball State. Yeah, I called it an alumni show, but I'm trying to have a winning record, JB. I don't know about you over there.
I got you.
Who do you go with, John?
I said Ball State.
I'm going to Toledo. Give me Toledo. Laying the 4.5. Yep. Ball State, they're on my DNBs right now. Do not bet. Give me Toledo.
Illinois goes to Ross Stadium to take the Boilermakers. David Bell is in concussion protocol. I can't even say the damn word. Concussion symptoms right now. Not sure if he's playing. Give me the Boilers, -11. I think they cover it, regardless.
Yes. You don't believe in Illinois. Not this year. You think they're still building. I don't think Illinois surprises Purdue. I think I could say Purdue should win easily.
Okay.
The concussion protocol kind of scares me. I feel like that's their best guy. But I won't say this very often. Purdue will get one bet out of me. Chris Fuller, I hope you're listening to this. Those Boilermakers one time. If they don't ever win, you'll never hear your name out of my mouth again. Boilermakers, by large.
In the Hoosiers, -9. Going to Western Kentucky to take on some Hilltoppers. Boy, whoever put this schedule together, my God, they must have knew they're going to get their ass beat by Cincinnati. Hoosiers by 9, hell, I'm going to think they're going to cover. I think they cover. They better cover.
I'll go in here real quick. Hoosiers, too. Yeah, go ahead. You go real quick. Go ahead, JB.
I'm scared. I'm actually kind of scared of this game, man. Pick an upset. This might be it, man. So, I'm going with Western Kentucky.
If
IU doesn't win this game, they got games on the road against Penn State, Michigan.
Yeah.
I got a home Ohio State. Their happy asses might not be. They're going to be looking at that JD Byrider Bowl. So they got a better.
They may have to take that contract back from Tom Allen if it's the case.
Oh wow, nothing like that's happening.
Yeah. I feel you. They might need Lee Corso back there. After that, give me the Hoosiers today. They got to have a big blowout win.
Okay.
I'm not counting up the Hilltoppers, but Hoosiers got to win large.
Louisville had a big win last week on a hell of an ending to the game. My God, I had who they played. I can't think who they just played. But I had their team.
Didn't they play? Wasn't it UCF?
UCF. I had UCF -7. And the way that bad beat ended, my God. Horrendous bad beat there. I'm going to take Louisville -2 at Florida State. Florida State is dead. Just as dead as Bobby.
That's an understatement. They got beat by a Division II.
They got better talent. Still, but they're those guys are just in the locker rooms, probably snap each other with the towel, man. I got to go Louisville.
I'm going Louisville, too. All this is opening up the doors for Deion Sanders to be the head coach at Florida State in about a year. So,
yep.
I'm going to go with the old Cardinals, -2 on the road, and they're at Dope Campbell. Sorry, Bobby Bowden, but this one's going to hurt a little bit.
LSU -4.5 at Mississippi State. Mississippi State, my God, just Memphis just rolled them last week. Dead in the water. LSU has not looked good. Mississippi State has not looked good after that loss to Memphis. I got LSU -4.5 on the road. Come go. You're fighting your life here. Let's go.
LSU. I got LSU. They'll win.
Damn.
This is going to be my last LSU pick because I hope you guys got them in that UCLA game. If they don't win this one, I'm out on LSU ever again. So I'll go LSU. Go Tigers.
I tipped my hat in this SEC game earlier. Tennessee at number 11, Florida. Florida had a tough game, almost won against Alabama. -20. Florida -20. Give me the Gators to cover 20 points against Tennessee. Tennessee's going to come in the swamp and just get swallowed up.
For sure. I'm sure Peyton Manning will be there at the tailgate, but or maybe even T. Martin be there at the tailgate. But, like, no, man, Tennessee's program going in the wrong direction. Looking what Florida did to against Alabama, this should be a cakewalk.
I agree. We're all going to be in the same on this one.
Okay.
Tennessee, straight Gator,
yeah.
Straight Gator bait, -20.
Too much difference this week's games. Two games left. Rutgers going to number 19, Michigan. Michigan, 20.5 point favorites against Rutgers. I'm going to go reverse way this time. Tanner, who do you like?
I'm going to go Wolverines. I saw that the couple D-backs got in trouble over there at Rutgers for some paintball incidents. They might be a little soft banged up in the secondary. So give me the Wolverines laying the points.
Okay. Jonathan?
Wolverines going to win. Michigan's going to win. They're playing too strong right now. Rutgers will give them a little bit more of a push than Northern Illinois or Western Michigan did when they played them. But Michigan should roll.
I think Michigan wins the game, but I'm taking Rutgers, cover the 20.5 point spread. I think Shiano and the boys can play a respectable game. Maybe they lose by 17, maybe lose by 16, but they cover the number there.
Yeah.
Yes, they can. They can't score. They put 70 on Temple.
I said they can't score.
Oh, I thought you said they can't score. I was about to say, come on
no,
now.
No, they can.
last game, probably the best game of the week. It's got besides Notre Dame, Wisconsin game. Have a week scheduled this week. It's, number 7, Texas A&M. 6-point favorite going to number 16, Arkansas. Jonathan, who do you
like? This is in Jerry's world.
Yes. I apologize. It is in Dallas.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good game. Coming off an emotional win, Arkansas. It had 2 weeks ago. Man, but I think, like I said, I think A&M's prime. They're not looking ahead of anybody, but they're prime, and they see Arkansas for what they are, man. I think they take care of business. I think Texas A&M take care of business, and they win the game.
Tanner?
The underdog is Hallie.
Oh.
Give me the Hogs. They getting the 6 in Jerry's world all day. I want 6. I think it's going to be a tough matchup for A&M. I don't think they know what they're getting their hands into. Give me the Hogs.
Okay. I take Texas A&M here, like you said, John. They got bigger to fry. I think they take care of Arkansas. Arkansas is a feel-good story. I'm going to take A&M here. They're going to look farther ahead at Alabama down the road. Boys, we're only like 10 days away, 11 days away from Ole Miss and Alabama, the main train. I can't wait. I'll have the train horn ready for next week with the picks.
You better have it. If those Hogs win, they go next week to Athens. That'll be a game. If the Hogs win this week, they go next week to Georgia. Watch out.
Yep.
Watch
out. Absolutely. All right, Tanner. We only got a couple minutes, my guy, but good luck this week.
Yeah, no, you guys close it up. Yeah, thanks for having me on again. Let's see how they do. Hopefully everybody's out here trying to make some money. Talk to you guys next week.
All right. See you, Tanner.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, John. Tanner Penn Rod. We got 2 minutes left, John. Just enough to say NBA NBA's next month can't wait. Ben Simmons says he's playing another. He's not going to play another game in the Philadelphia uniform. Doc Rivers says, hey, we want him to come back and win a title with us. Real quick, in 40 seconds, how do you sum up this?
He'd be traded to the West Coast.
The Warriors GM got fined $500,000 for tampering.
Yeah, he'd be traded to the West Coast.
I mean, not the GM, the owner got fined $500,000. So, whoo! John, I'll let you mess up, my man.
Man, we had a great show, man. Hell, we didn't even talk about Colton Herta winning this past weekend.
Ryder Cup this week.
But like, nah, man. The Ryder Cup. I know you're hyped about that too. But we'll put a a ribbon on all those things because I think the IndyCar series wraps up this weekend. And we're kind of chiming about that next week. Hopefully nobody got offended by – in Cincinnati got offended by Brandon's Reds rant or anything like that, man. But, like, no, man, great show. I want to thank everybody who called in, D-Cot, Fred Felton from the Cape Fifth Nation, and Tanner Penrod for, you know what I'm saying, friends of the program. We couldn't do it without them, man. Outside of that, me and Brandon will be back next Wednesday with a bigger and better program. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads sports content.